Welcome to the new All In Foods podcast from the Food Decisions Research Laboratory. Food is a defining element of our existence. Gaining a deeper understanding of what food means to us as individuals can help inform us and create empathy and appreciation for one another. This is All In Foods.
Hi, my name is Amit Sharma at the All In Foods Studios of the Food Decisions Research Laboratory at Penn State's School of Hospitality Management. The mission of the All In Foods Studios is to inform, communicate, and engage the community in aspects of the food service system with the purpose of enhancing our ability to make informed choices and decisions, especially when we are eating out of our homes. We hope to continue accomplishing this mission through our All In Foods podcast. Food service system, as we call it, includes restaurants as one of its largest components, with annual sales of over $800 billion in 2018. The National Restaurant Association, headquartered in Washington, D.C., has turned 100 years old. And so you will agree with me that today's podcast is particularly special, as I'm here to talk to Ms. Dawn Sweeney, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of the National Restaurant Association. Given the focus of our podcast on the food service system, we are delighted that Ms. Sweeney has taken the time to talk to us. Ms. Sweeney, welcome to the All In Food Studios, and thank you for agreeing to share your insights in this podcast.
Thank you so much, Professor Sharma. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
So I only scratched the surface when talking about the National Restaurant Association. Can you please tell us a little bit more about the association?
Most definitely. So we are the preeminent trade association that represents the restaurant industry in the United States. We also collaborate with many other organizations around the world that are involved in representing industries in those countries, but we focus our work primarily on the U.S. Restaurant and food service industry. We are celebrating our 100th anniversary, as you know, and this year, and which is very unusual for a trade association of any size, but particularly for one that represents such a large industry as ours. The restaurant industry in the United States today employs about 15.3 million people. There are about a million restaurant locations in this country, and we are contributing as an industry more than $863 billion to our nation's economy. So it's a very large industry, employs 10% of the workforce of our country here in the United States and growing. And we, as the National Restaurant Association, are the trade association that advocates for the industry, both in the halls of Congress, in the regulatory agencies, in the administration here in Washington, also around the United States through our state restaurant association partners, where we have one in every state in the U.S. that work with us and we with them at the local and statewide level. So we're primarily an advocacy organization, but we're also very engaged in training and certification, primarily around food safety and more recently now around credentialing professionals at all levels in the actual restaurant, in the restaurant industry, restaurant professionals, restaurant managers, restaurant supervisors, et cetera. So we're about $100 million trade association, which puts us in the category of one of the largest trade associations in the country, which is appropriate since we represent one of the largest industries in the United States.
And so a lot of the activities that you mentioned not only have a direct impact on owners and operators, but also eventually on the consumers.
Very much so. And that's a very important point because we do serve 170 million meals a day in this country, our members do. And the consumer orientation, obviously, to our industry, whether it's from the standpoint of sustainability or food and healthy living or all the various interfaces where our consumers of all types and ages and socioeconomic backgrounds are engaged with our industry, as I say, to the tune of 170 million meals a day. So that's a lot of consumer touch points. And yes, we are a business-to-business association, but we're increasingly engaged in the business-to-consumer conversations as well.
Now, there is one aspect of life that, you know, we cannot ignore, and particularly in businesses, and that's technology. And just like any other sectors of the economy, there's a growing agreement that technology will or could transform the restaurant industry. I wanted to get your thoughts on this issue. For instance, how do you think mobile technology is changing the industry?
So I would say specifically during the last 5 years, technology has dramatically changed the environments in which our restaurant members operate, and of course have changed the environment for all sectors of the economy. But from our perspective in the restaurant industry, mobile ordering, third-party delivery, those two trends just, or technology aspects just alone, have really accelerated the move from on-premise to off-premise dining. And now 63, I believe it is, percent of the restaurant traffic that comes through our restaurants are consuming their, the consumers are consuming their meals off-premises. So that includes obviously drive-through, but also now delivery, take-home meals, take-out meals, things of that nature. So it has a dramatic impact, and I think will continue to accelerate in its impact, how the industry thinks about menus, the pricing and the packaging of its offerings, the food safety for sure, and distribution, and also really the footprint and the size of the on-premise locations of restaurants, to the extent that fewer people are dining on-premise and more are dining off-premises, it potentially changes the configuration of the restaurant itself.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because it's almost changing the definition of food service or the restaurant or eating out phenomena itself. So how do you think owners and operators are adapting to this changing environment?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think it's changing the way the restaurant owners and operators think about the real estate that they have. It changes the competitive set in terms of the options that are available for consumers in dining in what are now called grocerants, which are grocery stores that have restaurants, real actual restaurants contained within them, the evolution of convenience stores to really creating more of a restaurant-like environment. We do a study every year called the State of the Restaurant Industry, and the one that we just completed for 2019 leads us to the conclusion, based on the research that we've done, that 80% of restaurant operators believe that using technology in their restaurants will provide them with a competitive advantage, and it is an area that many of our restaurant operators say they're planning to increase their investments in 2019 and in years beyond that, 2020 and beyond. What we do know is that our ability as an industry to adapt to a changing marketplace has been the hallmark of our industry's success for probably going on now 100 years. But the ability, the entrepreneurial nature of our industry and the ability to take these trends and these opportunities and build them into kind of a broader sense of success is kind of where our industry thrives, both in the recessions and the accelerations of our economy for the last century. So we're very bullish and very, certainly very positive about our industry's ability to continue to evolve and change and stay current. But it is increasingly challenging, there's no doubt about it, and particularly for a hospitality-driven industry, because you don't want to use technology in a way that negatively impacts the guest experience. You want to build that hospitality service nature that we is the hallmark of our industry's success. We want to make sure we continue to evolve, but at the same time, consumers are increasingly comfortable and open and even looking for ways to interface in more stylized or personalized ways, and technology allows you to do that.
That's a really good point related to service interface, but also technology sort of is information-based, if you want to call it, or creates information through technology creates more power. And how do you think automated intelligence is playing the role in this restaurant space?
This is another very, very important point that we are taking a leadership role in as it relates to the National Restaurant Association, because we know that AI in particular has already facilitated advances in cooking equipment and food safety, in predictive scheduling and ability to manage labor costs, and in food delivery. We really we've recently gotten involved as a founding partner in something called the EMMA Coalition, E-M-M-A, mm-hmm. EMMA Coalition. It's named after the granddaughter of the one of the fellows who founded this coalition, Michael Letito. And it is really about partnering with businesses, with policymakers, with academics like yourselves and others to make sure that we as an industry particularly the restaurant industry, understand the full scope of our opportunities and the full scope of our challenges as AI becomes more prevalent in the restaurant space specifically. And so this Emma Coalition, of which we are a founding partner, really is set up to be able to look at the policy implications from a legislative or regulatory standpoint, particularly the policy implications of the emerging AI environment, mm-hmm. so that we as an industry can evolve and change and stay current to these marketplace dynamics, particularly as it relates to the public policy implications. So whether it's labor kinds of issues and wage issues and scheduling and all the things, and frankly, honestly, workforce development and being able to invest in the workforce of today to make sure that they are current with the skills and the capabilities that are going to be necessary in more of an AI-driven environment. Again, I don't think the restaurant industry will be at the forefront of this because of our hospitality nature, but at the same time, we know already that advances have been made in things like facial recognition and the ability for people to come in as guests and have their order already pre-populated based on their, you know, retinal display or whatever. There's just lots of things that are going to happen here that will have both industry and public policy implications. And we want to stay at the forefront of that. And we are intending to do that in part through our work with the Emma Coalition.
That's very fascinating. So you talked a little bit, you mentioned workforce development. In fact, employment is another very interesting part of the restaurant industry. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but at any given point, seems like 10% of the U.S. workforce is employed in restaurants.
That's exactly right. Yes, that is correct. Mm-hmm.
But still, restaurants continue to face staffing challenges. So in your view, what is the industry doing to attract and retain talent?
So this is the fundamentally most important issue that we are working on today as an industry, because we do these surveys of our owner-operator members on a monthly basis. And for the last many, many months, the number one challenge, and it's changed over the various years and decades, but for some time now, the number one challenge that our members are facing is to be able to attract and retain sufficient workforce to be able to both meet the demands of their current environment and also, importantly, be able to expand and grow, because we do have an industry that is one that's constantly growing and evolving. And so that is the most important issue that we are working on, and we are approaching it from a variety of standpoints. First and foremost, we have been working with through a grant that we've received, the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation, from the Department of Labor, the U.S. Department of Labor. We're working with the Department of Labor and the White House to train apprentices in our industry using kind of the model that has been so successful in other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. We've pledged ourselves as an industry to train 370,000 people over the next 5 years. Other industries have made their own, and individual companies have made their own pledges. But our portion of it is a kind of a national jobs initiative related to apprenticeships in our industry that include both a registered apprenticeship program that we have launched in conjunction with the Department of Labor, and a restaurant ready program that's really focused on opportunity youth, oftentimes young men between the ages of 16 and 24 who are neither in school nor employed. We also have a very large scholarshiping program that we do through our educational foundation for folks who want to do higher education in our industry at Penn State or elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And we do also work with high schools all across the country through our ProStart program. And then finally, also helping people who are coming out of the military and transitioning into civilian life, who have many of the skills that exactly the leadership kinds of skills that we're looking for in our industry, to help them transition to the restaurant industry. So it's kind of a multifaceted effort, in those five or six areas primarily. But the idea of training the next generation of the workforce to have the skills and the dedication and the professional experience to be able to, the competencies, frankly, to be able to be successful working professionals in the restaurant and hospitality industry is where a huge amount of our effort is focused right now.
The apprentice program sounds very intriguing and sort of timely. How do you think that might fit the profile of the the Gen Z workforce, for instance? How do you think that might help, as you mentioned, transition and also get into the workforce?
So Gen Z is a very important part of our overall plan for workforce development, because we've actually have done quite a bit of work in researching and with a group called Generational Kinetics to try to make sure that we have developed the kinds of environments that are attractive to not just attracting but retaining the Gen Z workforce. We have about 73% of Gen Zs who have worked in the restaurant industry to date that say that it's a great place to get your first job. And about two-thirds of the Gen Z respondents say that they were really happy with their work experience in a restaurant, which is a pretty good number considering, quite honestly, how challenging those first jobs can be. We know in the next 10 years, we're going to have to attract 640,000 employees from Gen Z, from the Gen Z element of the workforce, just to meet the needs of our growing industry. That's a lot of people to attract and to retain. And so we are very focused on the aspects of the industry, which, for example, things like a flexible work schedule is very appealing to Gen Zs, and they're trying to get that in other industries and not always able to get it. It comes with the territory in our industry. The flexible work schedule is much more achievable, and that's something that becomes very important to this cohort particularly. So we're trying to tease out the elements of our workforce experience that are particularly appealing to Gen Z, and I think we have many things that, when properly explained or articulated, can make for a very compelling job opportunity.
You know, one of the questions that we always get asked by potential students is that, you know, what kind of opportunities would we have in the industry? While we have you on the podcast, I would love to ask you, what advice would you give for someone who's considering to join the industry?
So not surprisingly, we think the very best place to be is in the restaurant industry, in large part because someone who has the predictable traits for success in accountability and responsibility and hard work and those kinds of aspects of the work environment can be extraordinarily and very quickly successful in our industry. So you can come in as a young person for your first job and start to show those kinds of traits that I just mentioned. Those are the foundational traits for every successful person that I know of, regardless of what the industry is, but they're particularly well appreciated and rewarded in the restaurant industry. You can move up very, very quickly. It's one of the few industries where you still can start at the in an entry-level position and be running, you know, a $1 million or a multi-million dollar business before you're 30. And that happens all the time in this industry. So I think not only is it one that an industry that supports those qualities that I mentioned of hard work and responsibility and accountability, but it's also one that is one of the most rewarding jobs that you can have because you are being of service to people and you get to experience that every day. We've launched a program just in the last month or so called Serve Success, which is really about credentialing the people in our industry who want to take that next step and prove their commitment to the industry through the credentialing of restaurant professionals, which is a restaurant employee, a restaurant supervisor, which is someone who has supervisory experience in or responsibility in a restaurant, or restaurant manager, which is the individual who has the individual store management responsibility. We really want to make sure we have a way to recognize and reward people who are developing those skills and show them a pathway, a career pathway to success. And so I think that is one of the things that's very important to someone who's a go-getter in the industry. They want to make sure that they can demonstrate the qualities that will help them move to the next level. We don't want to lose people who are right for our industry because they're not able to progress as quickly as they want to. We want to make sure that we've really articulated that career path for success. And so I think back to the question of advice, it really is about making sure that you know, you love the industry the same way that, you know, that you love the industry in a way that allows you to give it everything you have, because it is a demanding and challenging industry, but it really is one of the most rewarding industries, I think, that is available in our workforce today.
Talking about love for the industry, your leadership has shown how much you love the industry. And talking about responsibility, overseeing such a large association with so many members, one can only imagine the scale and scope of your responsibility. So would love to hear what your typical day looks like as the president and CEO of the National Restaurant Association.
Well, it's interesting because, as we know, 50% of people in our country have worked in a restaurant at some point in their career. And I, unfortunately, was not one of those when I came to my role as the CEO of the National Restaurant Association in 2007. I had worked in many different industries and had my first job was in actually a grocery store. But I had never actually worked myself in a restaurant, which I was terribly upset about as I stepped into the role as CEO. And so the first 18 months I was in this job, I went out and worked in restaurants often in that 18 months, probably two or three times a month. And through over the course of the first year and a half, I did have the chance to be a volunteer, at least in every possible job that there is in a restaurant: front of the house, back of the house, fry cook, drive-through window attendant, hostess, bartender, expediter. I did almost every job there is, prep cook. I didn't can't say I did them all well, but I did them all. And in the process of doing that, I grew even more in my appreciation for the caliber and the capability of people who work in the industry. It was a wonderful experience that I have often wanted to repeat, because I learned so very much about the work ethic. And I'm a hard worker. I grew up on a farm. I know what hard work is, but I never worked as hard ever in my life as I did in those days that I worked in restaurants. And it helped me build my appreciation for and devotion to the employees and the owners of the restaurants. In terms of my own day job here, I've been here nearly 12 years now, and I have three kinds of days: 12-hour days, 15-hour days, and 18-hour days. And the 12-hour days are the light days, when I feel like I'm not stepping up to what the rest of the restaurant industry is doing, because most people are working 15 and 18-hour days who work in this business. But it's a wonderful mixture of meeting with and representing our industry icons and leaders who have built small and large companies from the ground up, and also interfacing, obviously, with members of Congress and members of the administration and regulatory bodies to represent the industry and try to create a playing field that is fair for our industry. And if we can tilt it a little bit in our favor to make it such that the industry can continue to grow and prosper, and frankly, continue to provide those 15.3 million people across the country the jobs that we and opportunities that we have. So it's a wonderful role that I enjoy very, very much. And I am blessed with a team of professionals here at the Restaurant Association and our Educational Foundation that have the same level of commitment and devotion that I have.
Well, we truly thank you for your leadership and for doing everything that you do for the industry and really for the next generation of leaders in the industry. And not the least, as much I would say for the consumers who are able to, you know, go out and experience that amazing experience of being out from home. So we truly thank you.
Well, may I thank you also, because it is you and people like you who help prepare this next generation of leaders. And from experiences that I've had recently interfacing with the students at Penn State in particular, I think you're doing a remarkable job of preparing the next generation of leaders. Some of the best and brightest and most talented are coming out of your program. And it's a pleasure to see the spark in their eyes, and you and your colleagues are a big part of that. So we're grateful to you as well.
Well, we thank you for that appreciation. I know we can talk about the restaurant industry for a much longer time, but you shared a lot of intriguing facts. Where do you think the listeners can find a little bit more information on these topics?
We have a great website, if that's still something people do. I know I use websites. I don't know if that's as prevalent these days, but we actually do have a great website, restaurant.org, that has a lot of information about the industry, about our positions on a number of different policy issues, ways to get involved with the work that we're doing here at the association, ways to promote the ongoing success of the industry. And also our foundation, our National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation, has its own website called ChooseRestaurants.org. And that's really about workforce opportunities, some really amazing stories about how restaurants and employees in restaurants are making such major positive contributions in their communities. So restaurant.org and ChooseRestaurants.org are the two websites. And then our social media channels, we're active, very active on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, LinkedIn. Anyone who's interested to follow us or on any of those platforms is another good way to keep connected.
Well, this was certainly a fascinating conversation. I'm sure our audience will also find this information interesting. Thank you once again, Ms. Sweeney, for visiting with us and for sharing your insights.
You're so very welcome, Professor Sharma. Thank you for the opportunity. I really enjoyed speaking with you today.
We wish you luck with the next phase of developments and evolution of the association as it continues to support the transformation of the restaurant industry.
Many thanks.
Thank you. Until next time, from the All In Food Studios, this is Amit Sharma. Thank you for listening.